We pray this message blesses and encourages you.
Amen. Bless you guys. Happy Palm Sunday to you all. And as we said at the start, kind of sweetness and sorrow into one day, our hearts obviously go out to the Curtis family. And we recognize as well the impact and the legacy of Linda, who was such an incredible warrior in the faith in St. Mark's City and then the latter part of her life in St. Mark's South. And there'll be plenty of honouring for her. The funeral's going to be on Tuesday at 10:30 in the morning here in the church. And then we'll make our way out for the final part of the service to Newlands Cross, just for those people who would like to know those details. So welcome today to the last in our series looking at David in 1 and 2 Samuel as we prepare our hearts, not just to get ready for this last sermon in the series, but as we prepare our hearts for Easter, Palm Sunday. What a preparation time for Easter. And I was sharing with the team in the pre-prayer before the services, the whole thing of the story that we understand of Jesus coming in to Jerusalem on the donkey and the applause of the people and laying down the palms, which obviously is given away in the title of the Sunday as we remember it. But it would have been a very, very foolish donkey to believe that the applause was for the donkey. The donkey was going, wow, they love me, they're clapping for me. And it's a great reminder, isn't it, that we always see ourselves as carriers of Jesus, that we always realize that the applause and the glory should always go to him, that it's not for us. We're just, no disrespect to anyone here, because you all look amazing, but we're the donkeys of the Lord, amen? And we get to carry him, and that's our role. And it's a great reminder in preparing our hearts for Good Friday and Easter Sunday. When I started this series, I started in Samuel about the life of David, and I didn't mention David. Do you remember I mentioned Samuel? And to throw another spanner in the works today as I close out the series, David's not going to be the focus today, but it's going to be Nathan. And we're going to look at the importance of friendship, and we're going to look at the importance of having an ally in life. And I don't know if this is done. I don't know if this is appropriate. I don't know if I'm just being very silly. But I want to dedicate this message today to Pastor Des Curtis, because you'll see as I go through the message that he embodies what Nathan is all about and what this message is all about. I don't know if you remember there was a Toy Story movie back in the day, and it had a certain theme tune. You've got a friend in me. Anyone remember that song? Praise God. I thought it was going to be another one of those things that I make reference to and no one has seen the movie. It's like, what's that old man talking about again? Praise God. True friendship is one of the sweetest things in life, according to Southern Living websites. Friends are chosen family. They cheer us on through discouraging seasons, celebrate with us on joyous occasions, and lift our heads and hearts like no one else can. Life's special moments are made brighter by the presence of dear friends. Whether you're looking for advice on strengthening your current friendships or simply seeking guidance for developing new ones, the Bible has many verses about friendship, and they are sure to push you in the right direction. And that is our intent today. Nathan, you've got a friend in me, is what Nathan would have said to King David. He is a prophet. He is someone whose name means giver, given, and gift, which I thought was interesting in what we were sharing about in the opening of the service and in the pre-service prayer about this gift of Jesus and the gift of himself to us. And our dearest friend is obviously Jesus Christ, friend of sinners. And he gave himself as a gift, and he gave himself as someone that was a given. Oh, when you think of Jesus, he's a given. He's a given. And this understanding that real friends are a given, or like when I phone them, they'll be here for me. That's a given. A giver, a given gift. This is what Nathan means. And he was a gift given to King David. His actions as a prophet, as an advisor, and as a dear friend, a loyal friend, are described in the books of Samuel, Chronicles, and Kings. According to Chronicles, Nathan wrote histories about the reigns of David and Solomon, and he was involved in music in the temple as well. So he was basically the family historian, and he was a worship leader, as well as a prophet and an advisor to the king. As we go through the message today, I want you to think of a few things. Number one, am I like Nathan? Am I a friend to others like Nathan is to David? Number two, do I have a Nathan in my life? And then maybe as we're going through it, that old theme song from Toy Story will be the background music. You've got a friend in me. Let's go to our scriptures. We're in 2 Samuel chapter 12 today, and we're going to be going from verses 1 to 14. Very, very memorable story and a famous story. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb that he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. If I was cozying up to a little lamb and giving it loads of love and loads of food, honestly, it would have lasted 3 minutes in the Malarkey household before it was out in the back garden. But anyway, his wife must have been very, very understanding, holding on to the lamb all day long. Anyway, we won't go near that one. Now, a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, You are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul, and I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah, and if this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in God's eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Out of your own household, I'm going to bring calamity upon you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to the one who is close to you, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You're not going to die. Because by doing this, you have shown utter contempt for the Lord. The son born to you and Bathsheba will surely die. Lord, thank you for your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen." Okay, Bruno, we go to our first point today. It is so brilliant to have people who love you and believe in you. You're the man. You're the man. You know, a lot of people like to get immediately to the rebuke. Can we not get to the famous rebuke? Nathan is known the world over in Christian circles. He's known as the man who brought the great rebuke to the man of God. There's something about a king, a pastor, a Taoiseach toppling that has people all wondering and talking. A delight in their demise. God, that's why gossip is so rampant and so popular. That's why people are attracted more to bad news than good news. As someone said, if the 9 o'clock news was all good news, no one would tune in. Hello? No one would tune in. We have this kind of fixation with bad news. Since our Taoiseach Leo Varadkar stepped up to the podium and said he was stepping away and it was for personal political reasons, the whole of Ireland's been talking about there must be something else. There must be something else. We'll find it out. We'll find out the bad news, and then we will celebrate the bad news, because that's who we are. That's what we do. That's what we're like. It's such a sad indictment upon society that we revel in the demise of people. And so we will get to the rebuke, and we will get to the king being brought down a peg or two. But we're not going to start there, because Nathan doesn't start there. There's so much more to Nathan than the rebuke and being a rebuker and being the one that brought the challenge to King David. We're going to talk, first of all, about a man who had no problem going to his friend and encouraging him all the time, letting him know, you are the man. We're talking about trusted friendship. We're talking about non-jealous friendship. We're talking about a heart that doesn't mind someone else being elevated above you. Oh, Lord, be with the days. You know that even kings need a friend. Even Taoiseachs, even pastors. Good friends are in short supply. And from the Bible, we know that, first of all, Nathan was a court prophet in the time of King David. So David trusted Nathan to hear from God and to bring God's words to him. That already is an incredible expression of trust. Nathan was appointed by the Lord. He was recognized by the court of the king to be a prophet. He was not a self-appointed prophet. Sometimes in Pentecostal circles, we have self-appointed prophets, people who declare themselves prophets, and they go around mostly expressing destruction. Hallelujah. Mostly just expressing bad news, never desiring to build up and to build strong and to have any sort of a semblance of connection with the heart of the recipient of the message that they are bringing. We see in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and in 1 Chronicles chapter 17 that Nathan is an advisor to the king. And when David is concerned and restless about the contrast between his own luxurious, palatial, beautiful surroundings and the tent in which the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, resides, he takes his concern to Nathan. He goes to Nathan because he's restless and concerned about the injustice that he's in a palace and God's presence is in a tent. Friends are trustworthy people who share our deep concerns, and we respect their advice. We know that they have good intentions towards us, so we've no problem taking our restlessness and our concerns to them, because we know that we're going to get healthy advice. It mightn't be perfect information, but it will be healthy advice to help us to process something and to get through on our journey. Nathan is a prophet, but he's a good news carrier, and he's someone that rejoices in David's glowing future. In 2 Samuel 7, the Lord speaks to and through Nathan, and Nathan appears genuinely delighted to share the good news about the future of David and his seed. Can I just say a little caveat here, brothers and sisters? Watch out for so-called friends who seem to prefer sharing bad news about you and seem more delighted when you stumble rather than when you succeed. Do you ever have those people in your life? We all do. Let's be honest. We all do. Those people in your life that they only contact you when they've heard through a grapevine that you're going through a tough season. Amen. Does anyone else have friends like that? It's like. First of all, I'm kind of going, how on earth did they find out that I'm going through this challenge at this time? But it's like they're attracted to your fallenness and that you're a bit low and that you're not doing great. Oh my, they are the best friends. But whatever was going on, as things were going good, or maybe the Lord was using you, or maybe things were going in a upwards trajectory, no interest, no concern, no connection, no friendship. But oh my Lord, if there's some sense of stumbling or failure or not doing so well, man alive, The texts come alive with the sound of encouragement and prophetic words. But they've not been near you, beside you, walking with you for months or years. They've not been a support. They haven't so much been there to watch your back, but they've engaged in plenty of backstabbing. And it's so painful, isn't it? It's like, this is so painful. And we're receiving the text from them, and we're receiving the prophetic words, and your Christian nature is saying, Lord, please help me to love these people. Please help me to show grace in these circumstances. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8 to 9, we see Nathan eagerly telling David what God has said from verse 8. Now then, tell my servant David, this is what God Almighty says. I took you, David, from the pasture, from tending the flock, and I appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great like the names of the greatest men in all of the earth. How many friends do you have that would love to get that news to you? How many friends do you have that would be rejoicing and delighted to be the word carrier to say, you're going to have a more exalted future than I am? That's friendship. That's Nathan. That's the challenge. Next point is that Nathan is someone that God trusts. You're the man, David. You're the man. Because he's got that heart for David, God can trust him. He's got a loyalty to the king, not blind loyalty, because we're going to be looking that he's the one who brings the rebuke. So it's not blind loyalty. We're not talking about that sort of, you know, this kind of culture in some churches and in some cultures where it's like, oh, don't touch the Lord's anointed. So like, the Lord's anointed can be sinning, hanging from the branches of sin and living a life, and we don't go near, we don't touch the Lord's anointed. We're not talking about that at all. We're talking about a loyalty, a thing where you would prefer to pray for your leader than give off about them. Amen. Loyalty, kindness, being Christian. We're talking about where you would longer get alongside to bless and encourage than get alongside to tear down. Amen. Christianity 101. Do you remember that? Hallelujah. We'll keep going here. Nathan is someone that God trusts. God trusts him. And how do we know this? Because the Lord gives Nathan the word through which the messianic promise is declared over David. The messianic promise. The messianic promise pointing to Jesus Christ coming from the seed of David, so to speak. The messianic promise that there is a throne coming that will last forever and ever and ever. How exciting is that? You see it in 2 Samuel chapter 7 from verse 11. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, David, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish the kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Verse 16, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before the Lord. Your throne will be established forever. Wow. And you can see Nathan's excitement. This isn't just a message of encouragement to his friend, the king that he is loyal to, the king that he serves, the one that he is delighted to be associated with. He is now declaring that there is an eternal connection, that there is an eternality to this throne. And praise God, it is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we stand in delight of the fulfillment of the messianic promise, as we see that Jesus has gone to the throne. He has sat down at the right hand of the Father, the pure Lamb of God, the received and accepted sacrifice, the one who has proven himself to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who is the greatest King and the greatest friend, Jesus Christ. We bless the Lord for this promise. My brother, my sister, Seek friends who don't mind in their hearts declaring over you and expressing over you, you're the woman, you're the man, you're the woman, you've got this. I believe in you. You're going to take this and you're going to run with this. God is going to bless you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to stand in the gap. Do you have friends like that? Are you a friend like that? Am I a friend like that? You've got this. I believe in you. You are the man. You are the woman. If you go further than me, that's cool. If you're more recognized than me, that's fantastic. If you're more elevated than me, glory to God. Seek friends that speak future over you. Seek friends that you can trust will give godly, good advice. Seek friends that love to see you rise and succeed. Seek friends that are full of encouragement, but also, and more challengingly, be a friend who speaks future and life over others. Be a friend who is known and trusted for giving godly advice. Be a friend that loves to see your friend succeed and go further than you. Be a friend that encourages people. We've got too much in the world that's dragging people down. We've got too many people in the church dragging people down. I haven't even gone near the world yet. I'm talking about the house of the Lord. Judgment starts in the house of the Lord. And so we're kind of challenged in our hearts, aren't we? And our hearts are pierced. Because we're consumers, we love this sort of message and we say, Lord, give me the gift. Give me a Nathan. Give me the given one. Give me the giver. We find it hard to go, no, God is calling us to be the Nathan. Consuming and receiving is what we do and what we love. Give me, give me, give me. And God is saying, Be. You know that what you sow, you reap. So if you're longing for a Nathan, be a Nathan. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, this is what we came here for. The criticism, the famous rebuke, what Nathan is unfortunately most famous for. You are the man. We know from our sermon last week with Pastor Darren that King David had been on the roof of his palace. He should have been at war. He noticed the form of a beautiful woman, Bathsheba. He was very, very tempted, brought her into his quarters in the palace, had his way with her. She got pregnant, and then to try and cover up his steps, he basically organized the murder of her husband. And that then leads to the scripture that we just read from today in 2 Samuel 12, where Nathan is sent by the Lord to David. David is probably most famous in all of scripture for coming to David to reprimand him for this adultery and then for the subsequent arrangement of Uriah the Hittite's death. Nathan does rebuke his friend. Nathan does bring the king down a peg or two. But he does it with love. He doesn't do it joyfully. He doesn't do it with that, you know, that kind of, dare I call it, lust for seeing somebody fall. He does it with love. His opening line, as he comes to King David, his opening line is not, you are the man. His opening line is not, you've messed up and you're a fool. His opening line is not anything other than love. He tells a story. He tells a story. So we have this king who is up to his neck in hot water in regard to his misdemeanors and his sinfulness. He's obviously ignoring it, pretending it hasn't happened, getting along with business, strutting around and doing his stuff. And so Nathan comes, beloved Nathan, a dear friend, a dear advisor. And he starts with a story. He starts gently and he starts lovingly. And he crafts a way for David to be able to see his evil acts. David gets so pulled into the story of this wealthy man taking the poor little ewe lamb from the poor little neighbor and destroying it in a meal in preparation for a traveler that's come to his home, that David is incensed. And David goes, he must die and at least pay four times back the price of the ewe lamb to the poor gentleman, not realizing that he is basically expressing what should be done to him from his own mouth. Isn't it great that we have a gracious Father? Isn't it so great that our God is so loving and gracious? Oh, my Lord, the things that I deserve, the things that we deserve. And God is just so faithful and he's so loving. He creates a way, Nathan does, for the penny to drop in David's mind. But he never points a finger and he never makes a fuss. David is actually happy to be in his company. David obviously doesn't pick up any judgment because David is listening to the story that Nathan is telling and he's really caught up in it, so much so that he's emotionally engaged in the story. Wow, Nathan, what? And this guy did what? And then he stole it. Oh my gosh, this guy must die. Only someone who loves you and genuinely has your back and your best intentions in his or her heart has a right to come to rebuke you. Amen? People who don't like us, people who don't do right by us, people who we know just love to gossip about us, people who we know that just love to turn up when we're going through a tough time, they don't have the right to bring a word of challenge and a word of rebuke. Amen? So I'm just saying this in the context of Christian love. It's fine to close your door to those people. Amen. But Nathan loved David. Nathan and David knew that he was a loyal friend and a loyal servant in his kingdom. Romans 2 puts it this way. You have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself. Because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now, we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you'll escape God's judgment yourself? Or do you show contempt for the riches of God's kindness, his forbearance and his patience, not realizing that it's actually God's kindness which leads you to repentance? Nathan seemed to understand this, even pre this being written. God's kindness leads us to repentance. The heart must be loving. And when we're in the context of a loving, kind heart, a loving, kind presence, we'll be more drawn to repentance. Having said all of this, and having spoken about loyalty and advising and friendship and being there and having his back and speaking glowingly and rejoicing in his future, Nathan does not hold back the truth. And he doesn't shrink back from the hard stuff. And now we're getting into the depths of true friendship. Have you ever had someone that loved you so much that they told you something hard in love? And you know it was hard because you reacted in anger and you told them to leave and never come back. But in your heart of hearts, you knew they were telling the truth. Have you got a friend like that? Are you a friend like that? Nathan says to David, you are the man. And then Nathan, can you imagine Nathan's heart breaking as he says, This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. This is the man who'd given the messianic promise. This is the man who was talking about the glowing future. The kingdom will grow. You will grow. Your name will be the greatest in all the earth. And then he's coming and saying, I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have given you so much more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house. Can you imagine the pain of Nathan having to express this to David? This is what the Lord says, out of your household, I am going to bring calamity upon you. David says to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord. The penny has dropped. Nathan's next words aren't, yeah, you have, and you're a big idiot. Yeah, you have. And you've messed it all up. They are not the words of Nathan. Nathan's next words are amazing. The Lord has taken away your sin. I want a friend like that. I want to be a friend like that. When someone has messed up, when they've royally messed up, that rather than putting my foot in their head and saying, I'm delighted today, I'm over you. I thank you, Lord, I'm not a sinner like that person. I pray that I would be the sort of person that would get down and go, lift your head, the Lord has forgiven you. We're all sinners saved by grace. We're all sinners in this place. We all make mess-ups, mistakes, mishaps. We are all full of doing our own thing at times. And we need God's grace, and we need people like Nathan to come alongside. And when we declare, I have sinned against the Lord, that they will say, the Lord has taken away your sin. Nathan is such a great friend. The Lord has taken away your sin. You're not going to die, David, but there will be consequences. I love the way he's got love and reality, love and reality, love and reality, love and reality, love and reality. But it's a reality that he's expressing in love. And here is the harsh reality of life. For all of my mistakes, for all of my misdemeanors, for all of my sins, there will be consequences. But the Lord will take that sin. The Lord will see me through the season. It might be bumpy. It might be challenging. It might be difficult. But the Lord will see me through. And the Lord will bless his people. There's no joy in this hard proclamation. Nathan makes it clear that wrong has been done. He makes it very clear that there's dreadful circumstances and consequences. But he reminds David that God is forgiving and faithful, and that David has a future. So Nathan kindly leads David to repentance. He never shouts at David, repent. He doesn't put the sandwich board on and march around his kingdom. Repent. David just loves him. He loves him. When you find a friend you know who truly loves you, you will never see rebuke as rejection. You will never be afraid that confessing your sin is giving them fodder for gossip. And you will never be afraid to be transparent, because you will know that you're truly being seen. Go to the last slide. Thanks a million, Bruno. Can I ask the worship team to join me up here and we close out this service? Are you a Nathan? Are you the man? Are you the woman? Are you someone that is a friend of sinners? Are you someone that will be there even if it means that the person whose life you're pouring into will go further and maybe do more and be used by God more than you? I feel to say this today, brothers and sisters, I don't know your private lives and your personal lives. I don't know what you're going to go back to and start doing when you get out of this place. But is there something that you need to stop doing? And I feel the Lord is asking this today. Would you be open to a Nathan coming to you and pointing out your sin? And if you're saying in your heart, yeah, do you know what? I'm so sick and tired of this sin and this shadow life that I would love a Nathan to come and to challenge me. Can you remember that you said that today so that when they come, you don't react angry and pretend like that you're perfect and kick them out of the house? Is there someone that, as I've been preaching, that God has put on your heart that you need to approach? Our theme for this year is strong and courageous. Do you need to step up and step out to confront someone lovingly, out of friendship, not someone you don't know, not someone you haven't invested into, but someone that you've walked the walk with for years, and you know that the Lord wants you to confront them about something? Is there someone that you need to be a Nathan to? Right to the end of David's life, Nathan stayed loyal, a true friend. So much so that he ended up serving David's son Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 8 to 45, we see Nathan very, very concerned about the plot of Adonijah, who was trying to make himself king. And Nathan knows that Solomon needs to be king. And Nathan is busy being loyal, even to the king that had let him down, King David. And it turns out that Nathan, the priest, proclaims and anoints Solomon, the successor of David. The two sons of Nathan, Azariah and Zabud, are then mentioned as princes and officers under Solomon. And so connected is Nathan with David's family that he had the honor of giving Solomon another name, Jedidiah, which means loved by the Lord. And when Bathsheba and David had another son, they named that son Nathan. Let's all stand. Father, we just want to thank you for your word today. It's so challenging to us all. It's so challenging to me. Lord, I love listening to a message like that and saying, Lord, give me a Nathan. But Lord, I know that the heart of your message today is, Lord, make me a Nathan. Lord, we've so enjoyed this series on David, Lord God, in 1 and 2 Samuel, Lord Jesus. And Lord God, I pray that we would be a friend to you. Give us a heart after you like David had. And Lord Jesus, we pray, Lord God, that we'd be a friend to others. Give us a heart for others like Nathan had. God, thank you so much for the challenge to me in your message today. Please break my heart for what breaks yours. Help me to be there for people in this very challenging and difficult world. People overwhelmed by fears and anxieties. People really struggling with their mental health. People, oh God, who see no future and see no life. Help me to speak future and life over them and into them. Lord God, people who will run, Lord God, to social media for advice, may they run to us for godly advice. God, in Jesus' name, would you help us to be a body of Nathans to each other and to the people in our worlds. We thank you for this message. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for what you're doing. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. If you'd like any more information, please visit stmarkcity.ie. Have a very blessed week.